stake in my life because they'd been a part of giving it to me. His face looked as if he'd been carved out of something hard. I don't feel that way anymore. The stem was entirely denuded of leaves. Clary threw it aside. Why not? Because of you, he said. If it weren't for you, I would have gone with my father through the portal. If it weren't for you, I would go after him right now. Clary stared down into the clogged pond. Her throat burned. I thought I made you feel unsettled. It's been so long, he said simply, that I think I was unsettled by the idea of feeling like I belonged anywhere. But you made me feel like I belong. I want you to go somewhere with me, she said abruptly. He looked at her sideways. Something about the way his light gold hair fell into his eyes made her feel unbearably sad. Where? I was hoping you'd come to the hospital with me. I knew it. His eyes narrowed until they looked like the edges of coins. Clary, that woman. She's your mother, too, Jace. I know, he said, but she's a stranger to me. I only ever had one parent, and he's gone. Worse than dead. I know, and I know there's no point in telling you how great my mom is, what an amazing, terrific, wonderful person she is, and that you'd be lucky to know her. I'm not asking this for you. I'm asking for me. I think if she heard your voice, then what? She might wake up. She looked at him steadily. He held her gaze, then broke it with a smile, crooked and a little battered, but a real smile. Fine. I'll go with you. He stood up. You don't have to tell me good things about your mother, he added. I already know them. Do you? He shrugged slightly. She raised you, didn't she? He glanced toward the glass roof. The sun's almost set. Clary got to her feet. We should head out to the hospital. I'll pay for the cab, she added as an afterthought. Luke gave me some cash. That won't be necessary. Jace's smile widened. Come on, I've got something to show you. But where did you get it? Clary demanded, staring at the motorcycle perched at the edge of the cathedral's roof. It was a shiny poison green with silver-rimmed wheels and bright flames painted on the seat. Magnus was complaining that someone had left it outside his house the last time he had a party, said Jace. I convinced him to give it to me. And you flew it up here? She was still staring. Uh-huh. I'm getting pretty good at it. He swung a leg over the seat and beckoned her to come and sit behind him. Come on, I'll show you. Well, at least you know it works this time, she said, getting on behind him. If we crash into the parking lot of a Key Food, I'll kill you, you know that? Don't be ridiculous, said Jace. There are no parking lots on the Upper East Side. Why drive when you can get your groceries delivered? The bike started with a roar, drowning out his laugh. Shrieking, Clary grabbed hold of his belt as the bike hurtled down the slanted roof of the Institute and launched itself into space. The wind tore her hair as they rose up, up over the cathedral, up above the roofs of the nearby high-rises and apartment buildings. And there it was, spread out before her like a carelessly opened jewelry box. This city, more populous and more amazing than she had ever imagined. There was the Emerald Square of Central Park, where the fairy courts met on midsummer evenings. There were the lights of the clubs and bars downtown, where the vampires danced the nights away at pandemonium. There, the alleys of Chinatown, down which the werewolves slunk at night, their coats reflecting the city's lights. There walked warlocks in all their bat-winged, cat-eyed glory. And here, as they swung out over the river, she saw the darting flash of multicolored tails under the silvery skin of the water, the shimmer of long, pearl-strewn hair, and heard the high, rippling laughter of the mermaids. Jace turned to look over her shoulder, the wind whipping his hair into tangles. What are you thinking? He called back to her. Just how different everything down there is now, you know? Now that I can see? Everything down there is exactly the same, he said, angling the cycle toward the East River. They were heading toward the Brooklyn Bridge again. You're the one that's different. Her hands tightened convulsively on his belt as they dipped lower and lower over the river. Jace! Don't worry. He sounded maddeningly amused. I know what I'm doing. I won't drown us. She squinted her eyes against the tearing wind. Are you testing what Alex said about some of these bikes being able to go underwater?
No.
He leveled the bike out carefully as they rose from the river's surface.
I think that's just a story.
But Jace, she said, all the stories are true. She didn't hear him laugh, but she felt it, vibrating through his ribcage and into her fingertips. She held on tightly as he angled the cycle up, gunning it so that it shot forward and darted up the side of the bridge like a bird freed from a cage. Her stomach dropped out from under her as the silver river spun away and the spires of the bridge slid under her feet. But this time, Clary kept her eyes open so that she could see it all.
The End. You've been listening to The Mortal Instruments, Book 1, City of Bones, by Cassandra Clare, narrated by Ari Grainer. This book is copyrighted 2007 by Cassandra Clare, LLC. If you've enjoyed this book and this performance, Recorded Books recommends the enthralling Mediator series by Meg Cabot, beginning with Shadowland, narrated by Johanna Parker. You'll find a wide selection of titles in the Recorded Books catalog, including bestsellers, mysteries, classics, histories, and more. Call us toll-free or log on to www.recordedbooks.com to learn about our latest releases and special offers, order another recorded book, or to read author interviews and narrator profiles. Don't forget to ask about easy 30-day rentals by mail. And thank you for being a Recorded Books reader.